the Columbia Public Library, where new worlds await. Welcome to Storytime with the Columbia Public Library, where new worlds await. I'm Miss Lisa, librarian at the Columbia Public Library, and I will be your storyteller for today. Today's story is Sleeping Beauty, written by Charles Perrault in 1697. Once there lived a king and queen who had no children. They very much wanted a child, and when they finally had a little girl, they were very, very happy. When it was time for the little princess to be christened, the king had a grand feast and invited all but one of the fairies in his kingdom to be godmothers to the little girl. Now, there happened to be 13 fairies in the kingdom. The king only had 12 golden plates, so he had to leave one of them out. The 12 fairies that were invited came to the christening and presented the little princess with the very best gifts they had. One gave her beauty, one gave her wisdom, another gave her grace, another goodness, until all but one had presented their offerings. Just as the last fairy was about to step forward and offer her gift, there came a pounding at the door, and before anybody could get there to open it, it swung open and in came the 13th fairy in a furious rage at not having been invited to the feast. When she saw all the gifts which the other fairies had presented to the child, she laughed and said, "A lot of good all this beauty and virtue and wealth will do to you, my little princess. You will pay for the slight your royal father has put upon me." She turned to the terrified king and queen and said, "When this princess is 15 years old, she will prick her finger with a spindle on the spinning wheel, and she will die." Having said this, she flew away as noisily as she came. The king and queen were in despair, and the courtiers stood aghast at the terrible disaster. The little princess began to cry piteously, as if she knew the fate that was in store for her. The 12th fairy stepped forward. "Do not be afraid," she said. "I have not yet given my gift. I cannot undo the wicked spell, but I can soften the evil. The princess on her 15th birthday will prick her finger with a spindle from the spinning wheel, but she will not die. Instead, she will fall asleep for 100 years. "But," said the queen, "what comfort will that be to us? Long before the 100 years are past, we shall be dead, and our darling child will be lost to us forever." "I can make that right as well," said the fairy. "When the princess falls asleep, you will sleep as well, and awaken with her when the 100 years have passed." The king still hoped to save his daughter from a terrible misfortune. He ordered every spinning wheel in his kingdom to be burnt or destroyed, and he made a law that no one was to use one on the pain of instant death. But all of his care was useless. On her 15th birthday, the princess slipped away from her attendants and wandered all through the palace. She came to a tower which she had never seen before, and of course she wondered what could be up there. She climbed the stairs, and from a room at the top came a curious humming noise. The princess wondered, what could that be? She pushed open the door and stepped inside. There sat an old woman, spinning at a strangely shaped wheel. The princess said, "What is that funny-looking thing?" "Oh, it is a spinning wheel, princess," said the woman, who was none other than that wicked fairy in disguise. "A spinning wheel? What is a spinning wheel? I have never heard of such a thing." She stood watching for a few minutes, and then the princess said, "It looks easy. May I try it?" "Why, certainly, my dear," said the wicked fairy. The princess sat down and tried to spin the wheel, and no sooner did she lay her hand upon it than the spindle pricked her finger, and the princess fell back against a couch and fell fast asleep. In a moment, a deep silence fell over the whole castle. The king fell asleep in the midst of his council. The queen fell asleep with her ladies in waiting. The horses in the stable, the pigeons on the roof, the flies upon the walls, Even the very fire in the fireplace fell asleep as well. The meat which was cooking ceased to sizzle. The cook, who was just about ready to box the kitchen boy's ears, fell asleep with her hand in the air and began to snore aloud. The butler, who was tasting the milk, fell asleep with the jug at his lips. A great hedge sprang up around the castle, which as the years passed grew and grew until it formed an impenetrable barrier around the sleeping palace. The old people of the country died, and their children grew up and died as well, and their children and their children. And the story of the sleeping princess became a legend, handed down from one generation to the next, a cloud of mystery as thick and impenetrable as the hedge of thorns lay over the old castle. Many brave and gallant princes tried to force their way through the magic hedge in order to solve the mystery and to see for themselves the beautiful maiden who lay in an enchanted sleep behind that thorny barrier. But the thorns caught them and kept them from going forward or back, and the brave young men perished miserably in the thickets. After many, many years had gone by, a king's son came into the country who had heard the story of the princess and the hedge of thorns. He made up his mind to try and force his way into that castle to awaken the sleeping princess. People told him what had happened to the other princes who had also attempted this task, but the prince refused to be warned. "I have made up my mind to see this beauty of who I have heard so many wonderful tales," he cried. "I'm going to force my way through that hedge, and I'm going to wake the Sleeping Beauty, or I will die in the attempt." It just so happened that this day was the last day of the 100 years. When the prince came to the thicket that surrounded the castle and began to push his way through, he found the thorns yielded readily to his touch. The thorns had blossomed into roses that scented the air with a wonderful fragrance as he went by. Primroses sprang up at his feet and made a pathway to lead him straight to the castle gates. The birds broke forth into singing as if to tell the world that the 100 years of enchantment were over and the princess was about to be awakened from her long nap. The prince passed through the council chamber where the king and his council were sleeping. He passed through the room where the queen and the ladies-in-waiting were sleeping. He passed from hall to hall and climbed from stair to stair, until at last he reached the tower chamber where the sleeping princess lay. For a moment he stood and gazed in wonder at her beautiful face. Then he sank to his knees beside her and kissed her as she slept. Instantly the spell was broken. The king and the queen awoke, and all of their courtiers with them. The horses whinnied in the stables and shook their glossy manes. The pigeons cooed upon the roof. The flies on the wall began to buzz. The fire burned up brightly, and the meat in the kitchen began to sizzle once more. The cook gave the kitchen boy that box in the ear that she had began to give him 100 years ago. Everything just went on as usual, as if nothing at all had happened. And up in the tower chamber, the princess opened her eyes to meet the gaze of the prince, who had dared to risk his life for her sake. Now, whatever it was that they said to each other, nobody knows, because there was nobody there to see or hear. It must have been something very good, because soon afterward they were married, and they both lived happily ever after. Sleeping Beauty, written by Charles Perrault in 1697. I hope you enjoyed today's story. Come and visit us at the Columbia Public Library, where you can read more books about Sleeping Beauty, such as Mary Englebright's Nursery and Fairy Tale Collection, Sleeping Beauty by Walt Disney Productions, and Sleeping Beauty, An Islamic Tale by Fawzia Jelani Williams. Be sure to visit our website at columbiapubliclibrary.org, or stop and see us in person at 24 South 6th Street in Columbia, Pennsylvania. We hope to see you soon at the Columbia Public Library, where new worlds await.